Good morning, White Plains family. If you were here last week, you might have noticed that my family has changed seating. I hope we didn't take anyone's seat this week. You might remember that I might have given CJ some bad ideas about tripping me on the way up to the platform in my attempt at humor last week. And so I've noticed he's changed his seating location, so thank you. And out of my great love for you and concern, I've changed my seating location, so I won't tempt you, maybe. But I want to tell you something about our staff. Now, you probably know this, but I think it's good that you hear it from me. We have a staff here at White Plains that loves God and loves you. The staff here have been great to get to know, and I've enjoyed getting to know them over the past couple of weeks. I've started meeting with most of them regularly, and that has been some good times to get together and talk about ministry. They are hardworking people who love you, and they love God, and they have servants' hearts, and you might notice that they're usually the first ones here and the last ones to leave. And so I would ask that as you think of them throughout the week, would you continue to pray for them? Pray for our staff. Pray that God would strengthen them spiritually. Pray that He would be with their families. And pray that God would continue to bless their ministries here at White Plains. I am so thankful to be serving with this staff and look forward to making many more ministry memories with them in the future. I do want to say one thing quickly about the deacons this morning. They did an extremely good and effective job of clearing off the ice in between the buildings. You weren't here this morning at 8, but they were. And they were chomping and scraping and salting and made it safe for us to travel between the buildings. So thank you, gentlemen, who were here doing that. We're going to continue our series this morning that I'm titling Rest Assured. And we're going to be looking at the letter of 1 John. Now, the church that John is writing to is struggling with their understanding of who Jesus is and therefore the certainty of their salvation. They're struggling with this because of false teachers that are in their midst. Now, you and I don't know. Like, we don't have false teachers here, I don't think. They've not introduced themselves to me yet. But you and I have false teachers in our lives. The church that John is writing to didn't have the internet. They didn't have cable television. They didn't have the things that we have. We let people into our minds. We let people give voice to our lives. And there are false teachers that are telling you lies. And so this letter is important to us today. Throughout this whole letter, John is reminding the church of who Jesus is and how they can rest assured in Him by having correct doctrine, living in obedience and love for God and each other. This is at the core of what it means to be a Christian. When you look at faith, what does faith look like as it's lived out? It looks like correct doctrine, obedient living, and love for God and each other. We'll see this theme throughout John's letter, and we must believe the right things about God. As Christians, you and I can't just believe anything about God. We can't just accept whatever someone else says about God. We must believe the right things about God. As Christians, we must live obedient to Jesus. As Christians, we don't get to live any way we want to. We have to live in obedience. That's what faith looks like. And the most basic way of believing the right things and doing the right things is by loving God and loving others. You'll hear this message all throughout 1 John. This is the message that John has for his audience. This is the message that he has for us. We must believe the right things about God. We must live obediently. And the most basic way of doing that is by loving God and each other. Last week, we looked at the first part of the chapter 1 in 1 John, and hopefully you walked away remembering that we should know Jesus, share Jesus, and enjoy Jesus. If you remember, we talked about how much the church is that John is writing to is encountering people who are teaching false things about Jesus because they can't understand how Jesus can be fully God and fully human. The struggle to come to terms with this is still real for us today. Many people struggle with having this correct doctrine about the incarnation of Jesus. It's difficult. It takes faith. You may know friends, you may have family who would say great things about Jesus. They would say really good and high things about Jesus. But they don't hold to the idea of Jesus being fully God and fully human. Thus, they make him wrong. They make it wrong. Their belief about Jesus is wrong. Last week, we said as we correctly know Jesus, we must share Jesus. And when we share Jesus, we invite others into our fellowship with ourselves and with God. Sharing Jesus with others is the greatest way we can love others. We also said as we know Jesus and share Jesus, we should enjoy Jesus. You and I enjoy Jesus by pursuing holy lifestyle. We enjoy Jesus by pursuing holiness in our life, pursuing truth by correct doctrine, and resting in Jesus' work on our behalf to save us. I told you last week that this is my desire for White Plains, that we would be a people in Allen County that are known to know Jesus, to share Jesus, and to love Jesus. There are many churches that know Jesus, but they don't share Jesus. There are other churches that share Jesus, but don't enjoy Jesus. It's a rare church that knows Jesus, that shares Jesus, and that enjoys Jesus. But that's my hope for you. That's our desire for us. And imagine, if you will, what would happen in our families? What would happen in our communities? What would happen in our schools? What would happen in our workplaces? White Plains, what would happen around us if we were people who knew Jesus, who shared Jesus, and enjoyed Jesus? Why do we make so much of Jesus? Why do we need Jesus? I've said Jesus quite a bit this morning already, and I will continue to say his name. This morning, we will spend some time with the rest of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, answering why Jesus. This morning, we're going to hear God's message to us by looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through chapter 2 and verse 2. We will read God's message to us concerning himself, sin, and Jesus. We will read of his holiness, our problem, and our Redeemer. This morning, it is my hope that you'll be encouraged in your faith, that you'll be strengthened in your weakness, and that you might even come to Christ this morning. I want to give you one tool before we get started, though, one tool that will help you call out any false teacher in your life. This one idea will help you know who to trust and who to evangelize. Use this tool as best as you can with people that you allow to have a voice in your life, folks like internet preachers, podcasts, news channels, and those people that you follow on social media. This one idea is for you to ask someone what they think of Jesus, and you will understand what they think of sin. Ask someone what they think of Jesus, and you will understand what they think of sin. If they don't think much of Jesus, they won't think much of sin. We're going to see that sin seriously matters to God. Sin seriously matters to God. We're going to see that this morning in 1 John. We must understand the truth about Jesus if we're going to fully understand the truth about our sin. So let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's pray. God, you are light, There is no darkness in you at all. You are holy and different from us. In your holiness, you cannot be around our brokenness. Thank you for Jesus, who cleanses us from our sin. Jesus is faithful. We praise you this morning for our advocate, Jesus Christ, and it's his name we pray. Amen. So the main idea that I want you to get from this passage, the one thing that I want you to take away with you as you go to lunch this afternoon, is Jesus alone reconciles the unholy to a holy God. Jesus alone brings together the unworthy to a worthy God. Jesus alone redeems sinful people to a sinless and perfect God. Jesus alone reconciles the unholy to a holy God. You and I can't do this. Even in our best efforts, we come up painfully short. Apart from Christ, we are in the dark, and we cannot come into the light. God is light, and we are the darkness. This brings us to the first thing that God has for us in his message about himself. In 1 John 1:5, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. This idea of God being light is a fun topic for John. He writes about it in his Gospels. In his gospel, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, we read, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And speaking of John the Baptist, John continues in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. This is about John the Baptist. "He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." And right after that famous passage in John 3:16, John continues to quote Jesus in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." The theme of God described as light is carried to the last book of the Bible in John's Revelation. In Revelation 21, 23 through 27, we read, "And the city has no need of a sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and the gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." If God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all, we must understand that God is different than us. God is holy. What happens in a dark room when the light is turned on? Does the dark stay? No, the dark flees. The dark flees when the light enters, because darkness cannot be together with light. If there's darkness, the light isn't there. The idea of God as light isn't just John's idea. This is in the Old Testament as well. The psalmist David loves the idea of God being light. In Psalm 27:1, David writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He continues in Psalm 36:9, "For with you is the fountain of life. In the light do we see the light." The prophet Isaiah also sees God as light. In Isaiah 9:2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." I don't know about you, but I love the fact that the Bible is not a story of a bunch of different stories of unrelated characters and unrelated stories. I grew up as a Christian. I grew up in a church, and I thought that Moses was the hero of the story of Moses. I thought David was the hero of David and the Goliath. I thought Jesus was the hero of the Jesus stories. But that's not what the Bible is. It's not a bunch of little stories put together. It's one big story about God and his redemption plan for his people. Jesus is the hero of the whole Bible, and John is picking up on these themes in the Old Testament about God. Themes that David and Isaiah knew to be true about our God. John is describing the holiness of God to his audience because they would understand from the Old Testament God being light. So what does it mean that God is light and we are darkness? God is holy. He is pure. God is completely clean. God is perfect. We are not perfect. We are not clean. We are not pure. We are not holy. You guys know this to be true, don't you? It doesn't take us long to realize when we think about our lives and the choices we make that we are not clean, we are not holy, we are not pure. If you look at your life and the secret things that you don't want anyone to discover about you, the thing you might be thinking of right now, you realize we are an unholy people. What happens to a clean room when something unclean enters it? The room is dirty. What happens when something impure is put into something that's pure? The whole thing is impure. This brings us to the next thing that God has in his message to us this morning. It pertains to our sin. In 1 John chapter 1, 6 through 10, we read, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God is holy, and apart from Christ, we are not. We are unholy. We cannot go to God even if we wanted to. We are unable to come into the light because God is holy. God takes our sin seriously. God takes your sin. He takes my sin very seriously. Probably, no, he definitely takes our sin more seriously than we do. Don't we often excuse our sin? Don't we often overlook our sin? Don't we often compare our sin to others and judge ourselves less guilty? Don't we often ignore our sin? You know, we might excuse, overlook, compare, or ignore our sin, but God doesn't. No, apart from Christ, God does not excuse, overlook, compare, or ignore our sin. God takes sin seriously. Why? Because he is light. He is holy. We are darkness. He is holy, and apart from Christ, we're unholy. God is altogether different than we are. And apart from Christ, we are far, far away from God and his ideal for us. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 begins, for the wages of sin is death. Scripture tells us that everyone sins. Everyone is separated from God. You sin. I sin. It's a fact. It's biblical. We sin, and our sin separates us from God. It separates us from the God who created us and gave us purpose. This separation ultimately leads to death. Because of your sin, apart from Christ, you will die separated from the God who created you and gave you purpose. Apart from Christ, White Plains family, those you love and care about will die separated from God, the God who loves them and created them. and gave them purpose. Apart from Christ, the world around us will die, separated from God. The God who created them, loves them, and gave them purpose. John says here in his letter in 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. This morning, I don't want you to deceive yourself. If you are apart from Christ, you are apart from God. Even if you're enjoying the benefits of attending church and sitting in this room or watching online, if you are apart from Christ, you are apart from God. If you are apart from God, you are in darkness, and sin will ultimately separate you from God and other Christians for your eternity future. God takes sin seriously. He takes my sin seriously. He takes your sin seriously too. We should take our sin seriously. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sin. Apart from Christ equals dead in sin. I want you to know that I love you, White Plains family. I have grown to love you since God put you in a special place in my heart this summer. The more I've gotten to know you, the greater my love has grown for you. I look around this room and I see people that are precious to me, precious to each other, and precious to God. And it's because of this, because of your preciousness and my love for you, that I must tell you the truth that God's word has for us. If you are apart from Christ, you are dead in your sin. Now, I love being back home in Kentucky. Thank you for bringing us back. It is good to be back in Kentucky, and my family and I have experienced the goodness where church attendance is just culture around here. There are benefits to the fact that people just come to church because it's what you do around here. But I have to tell you, it can be very dangerous too. We can think that just because we're sitting in this room or we're watching online that we're good with God. But consider your life, consider your choices, consider your desires, consider what you think of Jesus. Earlier this morning, I asked you to ask someone what they think of Jesus, and you'll understand what they think of sin. Do that for yourself. Ask yourself, what do you think of Jesus? You'll discover what you think of sin. Sitting in this room or watching online doesn't make you good with God. It does not. What does make you good with God is what you do with Jesus. Cultural Christianity doesn't make you good with God. Just because Christianity is part of our culture does not save you. Legacy Christianity doesn't make you good with God. Just because your parents or grandparents went to church and raised you in church does not save you. Occasional Christianity doesn't make you good with God. Just because you come to church on Christmas or Easter or once a month or so, that doesn't save you. Only committed Christianity can make you good with God. Committed Christianity is where you commit your life to Christ, to live for Him and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Why? Because God takes our sin seriously, and it seriously separates us from God. But Jesus alone forgives us from our sin and frees us from the punishment of sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does Jesus do this for us? What is so special about Jesus? Last week, we talked about how Jesus is fully God and fully human. Being fully God and being fully human, Jesus is special. Christ alone is the one who can restore us. We are a broken people. We are in need of being made right. And God wants you to be restored to Him. God wants you to come to Jesus. God wants you to be saved and place your faith in Him. John writes here in the beginning of the second chapter in 1 John, verses 1 and 2, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is our propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The goal, God's ideal for you, is for you to be sinless. But that's impossible. The most committed Christian you know, the most obedient Christian you can think of, still struggles with sin. Sin is constantly around us, and it's within us. The goal is to be sinless, but that's impossible. We need to be reminded of the gospel regularly, that not only saves us, but we need to be reminded continually that Jesus is the one that saves us. Jesus is special because he is fully God and fully human. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we read, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus understands what it's like to be tempted. Jesus has been tempted in great ways, yet he was without sin. In Hebrews chapter 2, 17 and 18, we find, "For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers. He had to become fully human in every way, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, in order to make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." In his humanity, Jesus knows what it feels like when you're tempted. For Jesus, he knows what you're going through. It's not just a mental understanding of what it might feel like. He didn't read about it. He experienced it. It's not theory for him. In Matthew 4, we read about Jesus being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The pull of temptation, the temptation to sin and to experience the satisfaction that sin brings, was real for Jesus. In that experience of being tempted, Jesus knows what you're going through. He has mercy on you. Because of Jesus' humanity, he can help you. Because of his humanity, Jesus pays the price for sin, for the sin of the world, and more importantly, for your sin and my sin. In his humanity, Jesus dies to satisfy the wrath of God against us. Remember, God is light, and darkness cannot be in the light. God is holy. He is pure. He is completely clean. God is perfect. Apart from Christ, we are not. We are impure. We are unclean. You may have noticed that I've been saying the phrase "apart from Christ" a lot. This is an important phrase because apart from Christ, we are guilty and condemned for our sin. We are dead in our sin. But in Christ, things change. In Christ, we are no longer apart from Christ. In Christ, the light penetrates the darkness. In Christ, there is hope for a hopeless world. In Christ, there is hope for you. John says that Jesus Christ is our propitiation. Now, this is a big word that I usually have to look up and spell check when I want to use it, because it's not a word that we use much anymore. But this word, propitiation, has power. It's an important word for us to know and to understand. Propitiation means sin offering. Because of Jesus' humanity, his death was our sin offering. Jesus knew what he must do for us. As Jesus met with his disciples in his final days and instituted the Lord's Supper, he says this about the cup in Matthew 26, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus knew he had to die for you. Jesus knew that he had to die. You cannot help yourself. In your sin, you are hopeless. Only Christ, fully human and fully God, can be your sin offering. In Christ, there is hope. In Christ, there is life. In Christ, we can come into the light. In Christ, we can be made right with God because Christ is our sin offering. He alone atones for our sin. We can't be sinless, but Christ's blood covers over our sin. His death is powerful. Not only does he rescue us from our sin, but he continually advocates on our behalf as sin creeps back into our life. In this life, we will struggle with sin. We will have success some days, and other days we will fail miserably with sin. Sin will continue to impact our lives, even as believers, but Christ is there advocating on our behalf. He is reminding God that we are his because of his work on the cross. Jesus is reminding God the Father, we are forgiven, we are restored, and the punishment of sin has been paid by Jesus. This is the gospel. This is the good news that we must tell ourselves continually. Why do you think the church meets weekly? To worship and to hear from Scripture. We do this weekly because we are a forgetful people. If we go too long without being reminded of the gospel, we will forget. It's not just us, though. All the stories in the Old Testament, the whole thing seems like one story of a forgetful people. They would encounter God in big and amazing ways in one paragraph. In the next paragraph, they would forget and flee. They would forget what Jesus has done for them. We are no different. We might encounter God in big and amazing ways as we worship this morning. It was a good morning of worship. We might have experienced God in big ways this morning. But by lunch, something may happen, and you may forget and turn away from God. I want to challenge you to make church attendance a priority for you and your family because you need to be reminded of the gospel. I want to challenge you to make church attendance a priority for you and your family because you need to be reminded of the gospel and what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. I want to challenge you to make church attendance a priority for you and your family because the world outside these walls is dark. It's a dark world we live in. But it is in these walls that we encounter the light and we're reminded of who we are and whose we are. This place isn't just for us, though. The hope of the world is found in these pages. The hope for Allen County is found in these pages. The hope for Scottsville is found in these pages. The hope for your friends and family is found in these pages. The hope for you is found in these pages. And it is here in these walls that you will hear from these pages. You will sing songs about these pages. Our church gathers and scatters. We gather here and experience the light together. Then we scatter and take the light with us into the darkness. But we must bring others as we gather from the darkness. There is no hope anywhere else except in Jesus. I'll invite the worship team to come back up. God takes your sin seriously. Apart from Christ, you are dead in your sin. God wants you to be redeemed, though. God loves you. He sent Jesus, fully God and fully human, to die for you. Jesus alone is who we trust for us to be made right with God. Hope is here. Hope is to remind you of the gospel. Hope is here to proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world that's around us. Hope is here for your friends. Hope is here for your family. Hope is here for you. Hope is here. Let's pray. God, you are light, and in you there is no darkness at all. You are holy. Apart from Christ, we are unholy and in the dark. Darkness cannot come into the light. Apart from Christ, we are eternally separated from you. But thanks be to Christ for being our propitiation. Jesus paid the price so we can come into the light and be restored to you, our Creator. That is our desire. That is your desire for us, God. We have hope in Christ. Hope is here. Do your work among us and introduce us or remind us of that hope today. Thank you for Christ's work to make us right with you. It's in His name we pray. Amen.